My father turned into a common housefly. This is the simple explanation, though it is hardly a complete or accurate one. What happened to him was far more complicated. I knew that. Just as I knew the basement of our home, to all outward appearances, a very average home on the outskirts of Quebec City, to be a place of dark secrets. Just as I would later know that my mother, having been found not guilty of murder by reason of insanity, committed for the rest of her life to a provincial asylum at the fog-shrouded outer limits of Nova Scotia, had done nothing wrong. Falsely accused, she would never hurt a fly, ma mère pauvre, much less a husband who had turned into one. His name was André Delhomme. He taught at the Université Laval, where he chaired the Department of Physics. Do not look for his name in the archives of that hallowed center of education. You won't find it there. His name has been struck out, as well it should have been. But take me at my word, he was a member of the faculty beginning in 1947. Soon thereafter, he published The Disintegration and Reintegration of Matter as an objective in the physical sciences, the Journal of Modern Physics, December 1949, volume 18, issue 9, page 592, a paper that brought him professional renown, a fortune in research funds, and finally, in the academic year of 1953 to 1954, a sabbatical from the university, during which time his experiments with teleportation began in earnest, resulting in several failures, a success, and then the final disaster. He died first in June of 1954, then again in August. After the accident, I had seen a strange fly in the house, a fly with a white head. Actually, I had heard it first, the drone of its wings, but also another sound, which seemed at first to be a trick played by my ears. As the fly flew past my head, I heard a voice, a squeaky, high-pitched voice, cry my name. I turned my head, and though I could still hear the buzz, I couldn't see the insect, which had disappeared somewhere in the colors of the room. And then it came again from very far off, a tiny voice, Philippe. I often had bad dreams as a boy. The feeling in me then, after hearing that voice for the second time, was of a terror I knew very well, for that cry was like my own nocturnal pleas for help, as if whatever it was trapped in a nightmare and wanted me to wake it up. I ran away. In the kitchen, our maid, Emma, a gray and sour woman, a vicious woman, whose husband had been drowned in the Battle of the Atlantic, was in the process of stuffing Cornish game hens. From the look on her face, you might have thought I'd barged in on the queen in her royal water closet. She spat a curse at me, and so I knew my mother was not at home, and my father was in the basement. Where's mother? How should I know? In bed with your uncle, perhaps. She took one of the dead birds by its legs and forced open the posterior. I went to the door that led to the basement. This door at the top of the stairs was often unlocked, but the door at the bottom, made of steel, the one that led to my father's laboratory, that door, never. Descending the staircase always gave me a strange feeling of disconnection. Above, where we lived, were immaculate white rooms, windows dressed with chintz curtains, paintings in golden frames, vases of flowers. But below, where my father worked, was a rock-walled pool of shadow, far too deep to be dispelled by electricity. I didn't feel I was moving from one place to the next, from upstairs to downstairs, so much as disappearing from one reality and reappearing suddenly in another. Now, at the steel door of the laboratory, I tried to stop my panicked breathing with a hand against my open mouth. The fly, I was quite certain, had followed me here and was veering through the darkness and would, at any moment, come close and call my name again. I closed my hand into a trembling fist. Never, ever did I interrupt Father. I could hear him in there, not speaking, moving, or rather pacing, but not pacing, more agitated than that. The first time I knocked, he didn't seem to hear. Then I knocked again. Movement ceased. Father, Father, there's a... As the heels of his shoes clacked on the concrete floor, I believed he was rushing to let me in, but there was only a sudden impact, as if he hadn't understood that the door was a solid object. He didn't open the door. He didn't speak to me through it. He beat upon it. Over and over again, he beat upon the door and kicked it, but he didn't utter a single word. The Fly 1958, a CinemaScope picture. Not until much later, 14 years to be exact, by which time I was studying for a doctorate of philosophy at the Université de Montréal, would I discover the American film based on my father's tragedy. I saw it one night in 1968. I had been out in the Quartier Latin, drinking and smoking with an American draft evader who had adopted the fake name of Caspian. Around midnight, returning alone to my garret apartment in the Ville Marie, I switched on the little black and white television, which received analog signals via a pair of metallic antennae, and chanced upon Nightmare Theater, a program I had watched before, hosted by Mad Blood the Magnificent, a Toronto disc jockey, wardrobed and made up to be a cross between Svengali and the Phantom of the Opera. The movie was just recommencing after a commercial break, and the first thing I saw was a boy of 8 or 9 with an aerial insect net, just like the one I'd possessed at the same age. Like me, he had a scientist father with a lab in the basement, a beautiful mother, a maid named Emma. Strange coincidences that only got stranger by the minute. The mother addressing the boy as Philippe, the boy announcing that he had just caught such a funny-looking fly. All my life, I'd been refusing to fit together the puzzle pieces of that summer. Now here they were, interlocked on a television screen. Accident. My father hadn't known it was in there, in the booth. When he entered the booth and disintegrated himself, it too had disintegrated. In the ether, human and insect atoms had mixed. When he and the fly reintegrated, each was half the other. A cold draft blew across my brain. A commercial came on for KFO insecticide, the cleansing liquid that kills. Okay, last one. How I caught the fly. Later that afternoon in the garden, I saw the fly again. By then, I had, in the inexplicable way of a child, put behind me, or rather hidden from my own sight, the weird incidents of the morning. I was playing croquet, a game I'd become precociously good at. In those boyhood summers, with father always working and mother usually somewhere else, I was very much alone. I hunted insects and practiced croquet. When I grew up, I wanted to be a professional croquet player or an entomologist. I had run the blue ball through all 12 hoops and was about to peg it out, mallet in hand, staring down at that blue globe, when upon its northern pole landed the fly. Unmistakably the same one. Only this time, the creature was still. So I could see that my original impression hadn't been accurate. Yes, the head was strange, but not because of its whiteness. It was white, but not exactly, not merely. Had the creature spoken, I would have run off again, but it didn't speak. Perhaps it never had. On a nearby chaise lounge lay my aerial insect net. Slowly, I moved away from the ball and set down the mallet. I took up the net. The fly, moving about on the wooden ball, probing the smooth blue surface with its forelegs, as if trying to fathom the concept of a sphere, sensed my motion a split second too late and flew straight up, directly into the mesh. Caught. The rim of the implement was flush with the ground, and from within the folded and furrowed grid of netting, which bore an uncanny resemblance to my father's schematic drawings of space-time, came short shocks of buzzing. From a tin box on the chaise lounge, I took my magnifying glass, then lay on the lawn before the net. Enlarged, the web of lines appeared as a diaphanous haze, and through the blur, very clearly, in unerringly perfect focus, I saw a creature with the body of a housefly, wings, thorax, abdomen, and the head of a person, a living thing with 5 jointed insect legs, and in the place of the 6th, a human arm. Okay, thanks a lot.